Hi, Royals fans. This is JJ Piccolo. If you suffer a sprain, strain, or fracture, the University of Kansas Health System offers orthopedic walk-in care at 435 and Nall in Overland Park. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley Davidson North. I-29 in Tiffany Springs or online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com for new and used bikes. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
The 0-2, and it's strike three called. Throws him with a fastball. And the Los Angeles Dodgers have won the World Series for the first time since 1988.
I think the security tried to stop him from going on there, but he, you know, this is a guy who's COVID positive. So is security going to put their hands on him? Are they going to potentially contract the virus themselves? Probably not, but they didn't stop him from going out there, and they didn't remove him. And I think Rob Manfred's got some questions to answer about how that happened, about what protocols were in place and why they weren't followed.
And now, glad to be able to talk only about the game. Well, maybe not. Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for joining us here on a Wednesday. We do have a lot to talk about. Most of it's sports, although life did crash into sports last night. Do I go full on, hey, dumbass, or like...
Yes,
I
would.
I mean, come on. Come on, come the blank on.
You know, when people complain about the Madison Bumgarner love fest from Buck, I always say, how would you describe what he did in that World Series? Well, how would you describe what happened last night after the game and during the game?
You know, we had a game six. Oh, by the way, this is fantastic. Curtis, you know, just sidebar, we're gonna open with the World Series. You can grab a line right now if you want in on it. You want to talk baseball. We're going to kind of talk about, you know, what's wrong with the Rays and A's plan, maybe. You know, our theories, we're going to do that. You can always grab a line right now. Royals, Chiefs, Sporting, K-State, KU, MU. Always a topic here in the program. 913-3810-810. So grab a phone line right now. What have I been attempting to watch for now 3 days? Really four. What have I been attempting to watch? What were you giving me the weather reports on yesterday? Or was it Monday? I don't even remember. And what now, have I been trying to watch during the show?
Oh, the race in Texas. The Texas Motor Speedway.
They cannot finish the race in Texas.
And that's a strange, like the last place you'd think you'd have a weather issue for a week straight.
Right?
Fort Worth, Texas.
Yeah, so it's great for me. You know, it's great for me in the sense that, you know, I like NASCAR. I missed the NBA playoffs being on when we were on the show. I was loving that. We had NHL playoffs during the show. You know, I mean, it's hate that the pandemic's why we were doing it, but it was really cool. It was like NCAA tournament time. So when they have a rainout race. And I'm a nerd, so I have the NASCAR race downloaded on my phone. So anytime, you know, a race is about to start, I get alerts. You know, I don't know if I get one the day before and then 20 minutes before the race starts or whatever. So, like, it's totally out of mind. And then it's like 15 minutes before the show starts and I get the alert. Hey, yeah. The Auto Trader Echo Park Automotive. And then that's all that'll fit on the thing.
Your name here, 500.
Yeah. I'm going to my calendar here to see what it's called. But it keeps, you know, moving it back, right? And so it lets me know in advance. It's the, not the Boger League pickups. There it is. The Auto Trader Echo Park Automotive 500 NASCAR Cup Series at Texas Motor Speedway. Watch right now on NBC Sports Network. So
or
I get
not.
Excited. Yeah, I turn it on, and I'm like, all right, let's do this. Let's go. Here we go. And every day, there it is. They start it. They're there. And then they quickly show you, well, here are the stock cars covered with a blanket, and here's a bunch of trucks with drying equipment driving around. It's been raining for like 4 days in Texas. They can't get this freaking race in. And I don't even know why they scheduled it for 2:00 today. You were looking at it. You're like, no way. Or was that Monday where it was like, no way for Tuesday?
Yeah.
I think I don't even remember.
It was Tuesday. It was yesterday.
It was Tuesday? Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, yesterday we're like, okay, they say they're going to run it at 2. And you're like, no, no way. You know?
No way. No.
We'll see. We'll see what ends up happening. I feel for the guys. I feel for all the race crews and everything that need to get the hell out of Texas and on to the next one. And they're in the midst of the playoffs, but which is why this race is like, we got to get this thing in. But can you imagine? Like, okay, yeah, 4 extra days and or 3 extra nights in Texas. Okay.
Hard to dome a racetrack.
It is. But they'll figure out a way.
A little dangerous.
They'll figure out a way one day. By the way, can I so and here's something I some So I have a source. The source is rock solid on what is a notable Kansas City sports story. But I need to confirm it. I'm going to Command C, can you boys one of you reach out to someone. I just sent it to you. That can confirm that. See what I sent to you?
I did.
Okay. So let's just put it this way. I'm not going to just try to tease people, but as you know, one of the big stories last night on the news was Rockhurst had to shut down its season. They were in the state quarterfinals, and because of a COVID positive test, the entire team is going to be quarantined for 14 days or 21 days. I can't remember which it was. Anyway, so they were forfeiting the state quarterfinals. I am receiving word that they are not the only team that is going to happen. I want to confirm it. You might reach out different directions, and let's get that confirmed. But okay. I am hearing that they are not going to be the only team that is the case. So we will see if we can get that confirmed, and we'll let you know. But maybe all the high school playoffs starting to be in jeopardy here for football. And that takes us back to the World Series, right? Good segue. The Dodgers won. They won in 6. Seven-game series are always better. I actually thought we were going to get a 7-game series. I liked Blake Snell on the bump. I still like Blake Snell on the bump. I definitely like Blake Snell on the bump longer than Cash like Blake Snell on the bump, okay? I'd go that far. It was what it was, and I think it was a compelling series. We had an incredible Game 4 comeback by the Rays, Brett Phillips being the star. That was fun to watch. I thought it was a compelling series. I really did. I 6-game series are, you know, not as good as 7, but for as good as you can make a 6-game series, I felt like they did. And so congratulations to the Dodgers, and they have, you know, their 7th World Championship, first one since 1988. And I do want to talk about the Rays, because I think that's the team that's clearly, I mean, hey, let's go. And the Dodgers deserve a lot of credit. Listen, they're not just, they're an expensive team, but they traded for Mookie Betts and then added on to his contract. They drafted and developed and then re-signed Clayton Kershaw. I mean, they are a tremendous baseball organization. And what they are is the Rays with money, right? Their general manager came from the Rays organization. And so they're the Rays with money. And I want to get into Blake Snell being taken out. But how do you get taken out of a game? There's like 19 different ways that this is sketch. Number one, I guess I'll buy that the positive test came in and they immediately pulled him, right? Like if you want to have a conspiracy theory, your conspiracy theory would be that they knew this all along and they waited until they felt the game was decided and then they went and told the Dodgers, all right, you got to get him out. Because this story is going to break and it's going to look like, you know, we didn't do anything. So you got to get him out. So Turner is taken out of the game in game, right? Because it's the confirmation test comes in that he tested positive for COVID. After the game, they announce that he is quarantined. He's isolating and quarantining. And then we watch the ceremony. And listen, I don't want to do I'm not getting into the politics of things, and I'm not debating what is the right medical thing to do or not. I'm just not doing it today. But I'm watching, and you know, the news breaks that that's why Turner was out, and there's a number of Dodgers celebrating on the field, either chin-strapping the mask or not wearing a mask. Now, you know, I know they've all been around each other in the dugout, and it's like, well, if they're going to get it, they already got it. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I don't, you know, who really knows exactly how this thing works? I just know this. I know when you're around someone who's COVID positive, you're supposed to isolate and quarantine. Here comes the families. Here comes the wives. Here comes the kids. No mask. Clayton Kershaw, no mask. And I'm just like, you know, I don't, whatever you think, right, whatever your opinion is, at least half the country, I've seen things that say, you know, 70% of the country believes that, you know, you should be wearing masks. It's just a bad business look for baseball. And, you know, I know the speech by the owner, good Lord, enough.
Oh, so, you know, oh, just awful.
Just terrible. Like reading from a prepared script.
A perfect example of the fact that people who are rich and in power think that other people want to hear what they have to say on every topic. Not the case.
Yeah. You know, so anyway. Okay, so the Lee Summit. Yeah, so this is official. Where'd this come from? Wherever. We got it. Okay. Okay, so we have confirmation from a player then. All right, Lee Summit North High School varsity football program. It is with great disappointment that we share that Lee Summit North High School will cancel the remainder of its 2020 varsity football season in the interest of health and safety in conjunction with the Jackson County Health Department quarantine recommendations. We feel fortunate that our student-athletes were able to have completed a nine-game season and grateful for our players and coaches who worked hard to incorporate new safety guidelines into their program this summer and fall in order to have a chance at a successful season. Our team members have much to be proud of as they reflect on the lessons learned and relationships formed during the 2021 season. Thank you to our school community for their cooperation and support as we remain committed to ensuring health and safety remain a top priority in the school district. So a second school on the Missouri side it is just the varsity team though, right? Is that what I'm understanding there, Jed?
Yes. Yes. The freshman team at least has two games left and will be playing those from the information I've received.
Okay, as of right now. So they obviously didn't come in contact with the individuals who were. So there you have it. Lee Summit North will be canceling the remainder of its season. This on the heels of Rockhurst canceling its season last night. So, you know, thoughts, prayers, best wishes to both those high schools and programs and all the athletes and kids there. And we hope for the best, right, out of that situation. But, you know, at the very least, it's a bad look for you know, the celebration. But, okay, you know, they've all were just in contact with Jacob Turner. You know, there is an incubation period. So if you caught it from Turner right then, yes, it would take, you know, what, 2 to 12, 14 days. We've heard all these different, you know, estimates. 4 or 5 days is the rule of thumb that most people use in it. But did you contract it whenever he contracted it and you just haven't tested positive yet? Like all the unknowns, right? And then what happens? Jacob Turner comes out and he's in the celebration. Or Justin Turner, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Justin Turner comes out and he's in the celebration. Then it's picture time and he takes off the mask.
It's enough to make someone Nate Taylor, isn't it?
It is.
He's a mask.
He's next to Roberts, the manager. I don't want to try the first name because I'll probably get it wrong.
Dave.
That's what I thought. I don't think I would have got that one. But he's next to Dave Roberts, who Jeff Passan pointed out is a cancer survivor from a few years ago. So maybe immunocompromised. I was speechless. I was speechless, and I you fight all the way through all this season, get everything done, and then at the end, it's just like, all right, screw it, we're all done. Give me a big jar full of COVID. Let me gulp this down. I don't know. That was disappointing to me.
Yeah.
And you know, I think we all have a responsibility to take care of our fellow man, and that didn't happen. So that will always be a stain on the World Series for me. That was very frustrating to watch. At a time that we should be celebrating baseball, at a time, and I thought Tim Kirkchin said it best. He goes, 2 hours before the first game was to be played, was it Juan Soto came down, was tested positive for COVID. He said, now, he said, with an hour left in the season, we have another COVID test. But they actually pulled it off. And I agree. I think Major League Baseball and the baseball players and everybody involved is to be commended, because it was an incredible undertaking. And I didn't think they were going to make it. You know, I don't know when I started believing. I think maybe a couple weeks left in the season, you start saying, okay, they're just going to keep soldiering on. I mean, they found a way to make up all those games that, you know, were down, and this is impressive. And it gave me great optimism that the NFL could do the same. And I do kind of feel like the NFL is just going to play no matter what. And I can't tell you that I hate that. I look forward to the NFL games, right? I want everyone to be safe and healthy, but I look forward to those games. But what an unbelievable – it just like you just overcame this incredible – adversity to play a season, granted not the whole season, but to play 60 games, and then it ends like that. That's so disappointing. And it overshadows what should be a massive conversation about when the hell do you take a starter out in the modern game of baseball.
There is a statement now from the Major League Baseball that has just recently been released. I'll read it here. In response to inquiries, Major League Baseball issued the following statement today regarding circumstances involving Los Angeles Dodgers third baseman Justin Turner. Quote, immediately upon receiving notice from the laboratory of a positive test, protocols were triggered, leading to the removal of Justin Turner from last night's game. Turner was placed into isolation for the safety of those around him. However, following the Dodgers' victory, it is clear that Turner chose to disregard the agreed-upon joint protocols and the instructions he was given regarding the safety and protection of others. While the desire to celebrate is understandable, Turner's decision to leave isolation and enter the field was wrong and put everyone he came into contact with at risk. When MLB security raised the matter of being on the field with Turner, he emphatically refused to comply. The commissioner's office is beginning a full investigation into this matter and will consult with the Players Association within the parameters of the Joint 2020 Operations Manual. Last night, nasal swabs were conducted on the Dodgers' traveling party. Both the Rays and Dodgers were tested again today, and their travel back to their home cities will be determined after being approved by the appropriate authorities. So Major League Baseball not happy with Justin Turner.
What do you think he's going to get? What kind of, I mean, I think the Dodgers are going to be fined well yes. into the seven figures.
Big time fine, and probably a
10-game
rip.
I think there's, I mean, maybe the Players Association will probably fight it, but, you know, I don't know what the penalties are, if they had penalties in there, but I would think that there's a massive suspension coming for him.
Yeah.
It's just a terrible look. And listen, if your reaction is, you're a jackass, and it's no big deal, and it's the World Series. What do you expect him to do? You are 100% entitled to your opinion. But there are a lot of folks that are just like me, that are like, this is ridiculous and embarrassing. And there are things that are more important than the celebration at that moment. I get it. You want a World Series. You want to be on the field. You want to do all that. I do. I understand it. I understand the want to be there, just as it says in that. But there are rules. And this is the thing. Like, this is you wonder why we have people that, you know, feel like they're above the law, feel like the law doesn't apply to them. Because there are enablers that are like, oh, it's okay. They won the World Series, so it's okay for him to do that. You're an enabler. It's not okay. And it's why everyone wonders why rule books are 7,000 pages. Well, the rule book's too big. Well, stop being a coward, right? And stand for the rules. And support the people that do.
Yep.
It's just a disappointing way to end. And it was a really good series. Like I said, it was a really good six game series.
When that last out was recorded, we thought, wow, this whole Blake Snell thing is going to be interesting. We're going to be asking this question for years to come. And 5 minutes later, we're like, hey guys, we have a new lead.
Yeah, I got a text from a buddy.
Rundown. Yeah.
Yeah, I got a text from my buddy. He said Kershaw walking around. He sent this to me, I guess, before I mentioned. He said Kershaw walking around the field with his newborn baby. No mask, right? Like, that stood out to him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I do, and he echoed this sentiment as well. I do absolutely respect and appreciate Major League Baseball and the Major League Baseball Players Association for giving us a baseball season and giving us compelling playoffs. And they worked their butts off, and all the support people and everybody there. You know, listen, Like, I'm going to tell you, one of the things that I was really happy when the Royals season was over was Mike Swanson was done traveling in a COVID environment, right? Mike Swanson's the senior VP of, or VP, he's VP of communications, some kind of VP of communications, right? And he's the guy that runs all the big press conferences, right? He's the head of all the PR department. Great guy, peach of a guy, right? Great guy, great family. And I literally, every time we'd do a Zoom after a game and Mike was there, I'm like, God, and he's going to go get on a plane. And he's going to be in this clubhouse. And I was so happy when the season was over that Mike had done his job and had gotten out of there. And my, you know, listen, Mike's not, he's not going to be the first guy. He's not going to get upset with this. He ain't young, right? He ain't old, but he's not young. And, you know, I was thrilled. And I was like, damn, Mike pulled it off, man. He was there for the organization. He did what he needed to do. He did his job, and he got all the way through it. And it was satisfying to me that you know, I know how important it is for him and for lots of people like Mike to be there and make the game happen and do their part in making the season happen. And baseball, we should be celebrating that they did. Like, Tim Kurkjian wanted to do freaking cartwheels last night. He wanted to do cartwheels. He was so giddy. And with that voice, it's cartoonish.
Yeah.
You know, he's like this little caricature of a guy. And he was just so happy. He was talking about all the things they overcame and where it was. And in the middle of it, it's like, yeah, Turner's positive. Oh, and there he is on the field. No mask. God.
It's almost like you're watching like an HBO documentary or something. Oh, here's the twist. Oh, see, just when thought it was great, there's Justin Turner. But no, it's actually real.
Yeah. You know, it's yeah, Nate, I agree. Nate sent me that is perfect. That mm-hmm. is perfect. I mean, you know, he said what the tweet basically said was the quote, "But I deserve this" mentality that Justin Turner portrayed last night is exactly why our country is still in this blanking mess and why I can't visit my own family for Thanksgiving or Christmas for the first time in my life.
Yep.
I mean, that's, you know, I don't know. All right, we'll take a break. And as much as I would like to sit here and just keep pounding this point home, I won't, because I know there's a lot of people that don't want to hear it, and I don't have a new angle to come at it. Just up yours, Turner. I mean, seriously, up yours. There's a bigger picture. There's a bigger picture out there. Yes, even bigger than the World Series. Even bigger than the World Series. I will take a break. Blake Snell, is it the worst move in the history of managers? Is there a fatal flaw in what makes the A's and Rays so good in the regular season, yet incapable of winning the championship? We'll talk about that next. 913-3-810-810. You're in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
Yep, this is the way it is here.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you. Curtis Siebold, author of the Sports Centers. Jed Marshall, running the operation. We will take you all the way up till, sporting tonight, right?
We do.
An abbreviated crunch time with Frank Bull and Tim Grunhardt, and then Sporting Kansas City as they're taking on FC Cincinnati in Cincy. No word on whether or not Skyline Chili will be covering the spread for meals, but for their sake, I hope not. Talking about the World Series, and another point, as we talked about, Lee Summit North now canceling their season with a COVID situation. Same thing that happened to Rockhurst. Rockhurst's announcement yesterday, but pointed out to me by Corey Anderson. He's like, didn't hear the whole segment. Well, damn you. First of all, Corey, I mean, we expect
you. What the hell are you doing, Anderson?
Get your butt downstairs and get the program on. Like, that's what it is. I mean, we never miss a second to the zone. He said, did you mention that Lee Summit North is the school where Tyreek Hill was volunteering as an assistant coach? I did not, but it is of note, very much of note. And I can tell you, we'll see what happens with this. Tyreek Hill is scheduled to be made available to the media on Friday. They bring different players out. We always there's always you know, Andy Reid has his days on a normal week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Monday and Saturday. Does he do a Saturday? No,
I don't think he does Saturday. No.
Yeah, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, he's available. Thursday, the coordinators and or, usually the coordinators, three out of four roughly, and or the assistant coaches. And then, you know, Patrick Mahomes on Wednesday, and then there's always a defensive player on Thursday. A lot of the times that's Tyrann Mathieu. Tomorrow it's going to be Chris Jones. And then a different player. There's usually another player on Thursday.
And the Friday one is the one that's post-practice. The others are pre.
Right.
Friday is actually after practice.
So Tyreek Hill is scheduled to be made available to the media on Friday. So this will be interesting. And, mm-hmm. of course, they're tested every day. So we'll find out if Tyreek Hill. And I guess we'll probably find out even sooner. In fact, let's make that call. You know, find out what their official statement is. I'm sure as of right now they have no statement, but you know, they're going to have to make you know, some assessment as to what's going on with Tyreek Hill in regard to the Lee Summit North cancellation. The subject of the World Series. I'm going to go to the phones. Ian's waiting patiently, so we'll talk to Ian here in a second. You know, first of all, on the subject of taking Blake Snell out, right? I would not have done it. And I hear all the consternation, and there are lots of people. I had a buddy who said, I'm not taking him out there. I was actually not watching the game at that moment. I went out, got my fat ass outside to exercise, and had the DVR going. And so I came back in, and he texted me. He goes, I'm not taking Snell out there. How about you? Well, I can't honestly tell you I could give you an honest opinion because I came back and I saw, you know, what had happened by the time when I got back. And I was like, this game, he's going to deal. And I expected the Rays to tack on to 3-4-0 or 3-4-1, and we'd get game seven. Of course, I get back, and it's the seventh, and you know, the Dodgers have made it 2-1 at that point. And so, you know, I can't tell you that I in the moment I was like, absolutely, you got to keep him in. I believe that that's what I'd say, because the reason I liked the Rays yesterday was Blake Snell. To me, this game had what I said to Curtis earlier was Yordano Ventura game six of the 2014 World Series. I really thought that's what it was going to be. I thought it was going to be the Rays easy going into the game, right? Then it became clear, like, well, this is going to be a fight, but my money's still on Blake Snell. And so I believe I at that time I would have said it, but I didn't have a chance to say it at that time, so I don't want to beat that drum too hard. But I'll say this. If you've lived and died by the math all year, are you supposed to not play by the math late?
I think you're probably supposed to, or else why do it? I mean, within the setup that you have as far as your view of the game at that point, I think you always have to consider it. I think you probably should apply apply your principles to the present situation.
The reason why I feel comfortable saying that, I would have said stay with Blake Snell, because I've said many times, I believe where starting pitching's going, and I think a lot of it's going to be starting pitching that are actually the long guy after the opener. I believe where starting pitching is going is you're going to have, you know, most guys that are just, they're 18-batter guys, and you don't want them to see anybody a third time. But there will always be the handful of truly elites that are better than that, and they give your bullpen a rest. And Blake Snell's one of those guys. Pretty much if you got a Cy Young, you're one of those guys. Okay? If you're a big swing and miss guy, you're one of those guys. You have the weapons to get by, even if they have you timed, you know, and have a good feel for all your pitches, and they've seen everything you got that night, you still have the weapons to beat them. And so, no, he should not have been taken from the game. And what's even more troubling to me is that And this is why it does come down to cash, is he's in the get-it-right business. Now, listen, they left Clayton Kershaw in. This was in the NLCS, right, where he got tagged around in the sixth. Dave Roberts left him in.
Against the Nationals?
Right.
Or this year or last year?
This year.
This year, okay, yeah. I think it was the LCS. I was thinking last year when he got tagged against the Nationals, too.
Yeah, both of them. I mean, like, he routinely gets tagged in the playoffs till mm-hmm. the World Series. And even in the World Series, so Roberts got reamed. Everybody put up all the stats. His ERA sixth inning or later in the postseason was like over seven. And it's like, why is this guy in there, right? And we've talked about it. Third time through the order, everybody's numbers are bad. Even the great pitchers, they get worse because they've had a look at you. Mookie Betts has a career OPS of almost 900. It's like 895 against Blake Snell in his career. And I'd have to go back and look at what his OPS is when he sees him a third time in a game. I'm sure I could probably dig that up somewhere. But, you know, there's a reason to take him out. But what my frustration is, they said, well, was this the plan? He was only going to see it two times through. And he said, no, it wasn't the plan. It's just what I felt was best. I didn't want him to have a shot at the top of the order a third time. Well, okay, that's where my frustration is. Then you're not playing the numbers. Like if you're the Rays and you're going to live or die by the analytics, which I believe they have to the nth degree, and it's carried them to the top of the mountain, if he said, I wasn't going to let him see the top of the order a third time, well, that would be a plan. And you know what you'd do with that plan as well? You'd start an opener.
Right.
So that, because you're the guys that invented this idea. One guy with flamethrower stuff goes full bore for an inning, gets through the 1-2-3 or 1-2-3-4-5, and then you bring on the guy you want to carry the weight, and then he can see the bottom of the lineup three times. It's actually so painfully simple. It's like just so maddening how long baseball held on to, no, a starter's a starter. We're not going to do what's best to win because starters are out there to start. This asinine approach that they've taken for years. Well, the Rays finally said, well, screw that. I mean, nobody comes to watch our games. We play in a turd stadium, and we have no money. We're going to do whatever the hell we want. And so they said, here's the opener. Well, that would have been the math. That would have been going along with what you've always done. And if you said, okay, here it is. He's coming around. It's the first time he's going to see Mookie Betts the third time, which frankly would have been, you know, then later in the game, because that would have only been a second time through. Now you don't know. Maybe Nick Anderson's the opener and maybe he gets tagged, right, by Betts anyway. And it ends up being the exact same result. But I would say, okay, I'm still okay with that, because then Blake Snell's pitching later into the game, and you maybe have a better chance of catching them. But my biggest dilemma is not that Cash pulled him, but that's not how they play. Like, I think you got to dance with the one that brung you, right? And what brung them was the math, and they didn't incorporate the math. They didn't have the plan going, and they're like, well, they went into the game going, we want Blake Snell. We're going to ride with our ace. And then in the game, they crapped themselves. They second-guessed themselves, and they said, okay, you know what? We can't do this. I'm scared. It's close. That third time through is real, and we're getting out of there. Well, you should have had a plan, right? And they didn't have a plan. And that's the problem, is the whole season they've had a plan. I would love to have seen what would have happened in this series had they gone with their plan, whatever it was. But he admitted, no, we had no plan. Yeah. The team that has a plan for everything in Game 6 of the World Series had no plan on what they were going to do with their starting pitching.
When it mattered the most.
Yes.
The minute that it mattered the most.
they bailed on what they're built on. Now, here's what I think. I think that there's lots and lots of great stuff to be learned from the A's and Rays. But it is different in the postseason. And I'm not even convinced that the Rays have figured out the postseason, because they got to Game 6 of the World Series. Because I said coming into this, I don't know that the Rays are here. They had to go, they swept in the first round, but then they had to go 5 in the first series, had to go 7 in the second series. And those series had no travel days, which is what playoff baseball is about. I frankly think their offense would have been rendered impotent in a regular playoff series, because you would have had travel days, which means top relievers would have been available for more innings of the game. Top starters would have been available for more innings of the games. And they got to continue to play regular season baseball because of how it worked. An extra round of playoffs, no travel days, no off days. They got to continue playing regular season baseball. And the regular season baseball formula works in regular season baseball. It doesn't work when you get into short series with rest. That's where it just runs into a wall. And that's why the Royals, and you can look at it, and everybody can be frustrated that they didn't get it done in 13. Nobody really is upset then, because they had no expectations for it. But then in 16 and 17, they had expectations for the Royals. And this is where, time and time again, I'm comforted by what the Royals did, other than trading Wade Davis for Jorge Soler, which is good now, but didn't help them in 16 and 17. I'm comforted by the fact that the Royals were a team that were built to win playoff games. That's what they were. The problem with their window of opportunity was whether or not they were going to be able to get to the playoffs. They weren't a team that was built to win the regular season. It was going to be hard to get there. And 14 really exemplified it when they were five games below 500 right after the All-Star break that year. That's the kind of team that struggles on the day-in, day-out grind. But when it's best against best, they had some of the best. They had the best bullpen guys out there. They had frequency of contact hitters. They could play small ball, and they could get it done, and the Rays couldn't do it. The Rays got one home run last night. Their offense is based on a regular season offense, and they couldn't mount anything against the Dodgers. And to me, that's the moral of this story. And I don't, you know, until the A's or Rays break through and win a World Series, they don't have the perfect formula for small market baseball unless what you want to do is win the most regular season games. That's what they have figured out.
Yeah, and it's not.
You agree or disagree, Kay?
I do agree with that because there's the precedent all says that, and there may be even more when you think about the fact that what are the two series that they did well in? It was the LDS and the LCS, and even the little division series before that, the wild card, when there was no rest. They were good when they didn't have days off. This is the first series of this postseason where there were off days.
And as I said, it took them the maximum number of games in those two series. They still barely got by.
Yeah, and you can probably add the Twins to that list as well. Until one of those teams finds a way, and the Rays, now I'm not sure how much of their 08 team operated under the same situation that this 20 team did. The Rays actually have found their way to the World Series twice, whereas the other two teams have not. The A's finally won a series. They've been historically bad for the last 20 years, both the Twins and A's, until one of those teams reaches the final, the finish line and gets it all, grabs the ring. You have to wonder if that's the case. And right now, there's a lot more evidence that suggests that tact is flawed than there is to suggest that it might actually bear fruit someday.
Now, I will say this to play devil's advocate, and to be completely honest, if you're an A's fan out there, or I don't know, a Rays fan that's stumbled onto us via the web, because there aren't many near as I can tell in Tampa, let alone here, and you're saying, you know what, screw you, because the reason the Royals won wasn't because of their frequency of contact. It wasn't because of their bullpen and gaming the game on everybody else. It was because the Yankees and Red Sox were down that year. It didn't hurt. It didn't hurt.
Except they won in six games against a team loaded with power that had a couple of studs at the top of their pitching rotation in that Toronto team. That Toronto team had one of the 30 best run differentials in the history of baseball. That was the Yankees. That was the Red Sox. They were just wearing a different uniform.
I agree.
They beat them in six.
And the Mets came out with aces galore, and they were still able to beat the Aces with their frequency of contact hitting and a couple of timely home runs, as we know. I get it. I'm just saying, if you want to say that, it's a fair argument, right? It's a fair argument. Saying don't rip the A's and Rays have just had the misfortune to happen to go through, big teams, and the Rays got through one of the big teams, right? In getting through the Yankees. Mm-hmm. So I would say, yes, you're right. The Royals did not have to go through a classic Yankee team. And so there's no doubt. But it's also why I say when opportunity knocks, you got to answer the door.
Yep.
Right? And so when those teams are down, you need to be good. Did the Royals get fortunate? Yeah, they did. But here's my other point. The Royals were good enough to win the World Series for 5 years. 5 years. Right? That's my point. Bill Self has one championship because he's always in the Elite Eight. Eventually, you break through and you win it, right? Coach K has, what, five now? Because even more, he's always in the Elite Eight. He's lost in the first round, right? It happens, but when you consistently have the formula to put yourself near the championship, you're eventually going to back into it. If nothing else, you're going to back into it, right? This idea that you're good enough to win, you can decide – once every 20 years, you're going to be good enough to win the World Series, and then that year you're going to do it because that's the year you've targeted. It doesn't work like that. You've got to be good enough to win it many times. The Chiefs were good enough to win it in 18. They didn't get it done. They were good enough to win it in 19. They did get it done. And that's how it works. To the Royals' credit, Dayton Moore had he built a five-year window which frankly, until he proves otherwise, I think actually is also one of the things that is why the Royals won and the Rays and A's don't. Ben Zobrist, Johnny Cueto. He was there. He knew he had a shot. He had been close. He knew that probably by then that he wasn't going to be able to keep Moustakas and Hosmer. And he said, we're going balls to the wall. And he went out and got it done. And the A's and Rays are about just being good enough to get into the tournament. And then they assume that the tournament is just a crapshoot. Billy Beane said as much in the book Moneyball. I can do the regular season, but the playoffs are just luck. Well, then what? You're the unluckiest guy ever? I find that to be crap. I refuse to diminish what Billy Beane's done in the regular season, but I also feel that he has to accept his failures in the postseason. There is a flaw in what they do, and the Rays are the same kind of team, in my opinion. Same kind of team. And, you know, if anything, had they just played the numbers with Blake Snell and gone opener and said, we're going the rest of the way with him, we're going to try to buy through the first, or just said, you know, he's our horse, and twofold. One, he's going to go to 120 pitches no matter what, because we're going to die with our boots on with our ace, and we're going to have everybody else fresh, ready to go for Game 7, because we do have to win a Game 7, right? And so this gives us our best shot here. Either one of those would have been fine. But getting in there at 1-0 and then losing your nerve after admitting you had no plan for how it was going to go, you were just going to fly by the seat of your pants, that's an epic failure. That's an epic failure, and that's a manager that backed off the math. There's math to what he said, right, third time through. But that's one to not have a plan and be committed to what you're going to do means that you were just going to ride by the seat of your pants. And by the way, there was nothing that said Blake Snell was done. All that was then, okay, the math is convenient right now. I'm going to go to the math, and I've got my reason to answer in the post game as to why I did it. And by the way, had they won 1-0 with the bullpens going zeros, a lot of people would have said, boy, I would have taken Snell out, but it sure worked. And then if the next night they came up short bullpen-wise, we'd have been talking about, well, you know what, maybe if you'd stayed with Snell, you'd have had the bullpen necessary to win Game 7. All that's a compelling reason why this was a compelling World Series and why I think the Royals, right? Nobody else in the country is going to talk about this right now, but I think it's a compelling reason as to why Dayton Moore and the Kansas City Royals did not get lucky. They had a plan, and they stuck to it all the way to the end.
The Program with Soren Petro.
Fred, yeah, embrace it. What else are you going to do, man?
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the Program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you. We're talking some World Series baseball to get things started. Lebo right around the corner. We'll play the feud. That'll be your chance to win a wonderful gift card to Hen House. Go see him back at the meat counter. Tell him I sent you the great cuts of meat back there. You can take advantage of all the specials. Go to henhouse.com to see those specials right now. 913-83-810-810. I've yakked quite a bit. Let's let Ted yak a little bit. You're in the Program, Ted. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Soren, thanks for taking the call. Glad to talk baseball. So, you know, I don't think anybody in the near future is going to win the World Series again like the Royals did with frequency of contact because of the shift. I personally hate the shift and the way baseball's changed with the launch angles and the home runs. How do the Royals do it the next time if they can do it? I think more than anything, they need young bats. All these teams, it seems like, that we're looking at that are in the playoffs, they all have these young studs that can hit the ball. And I'm willing, I don't know if you are, but I'm willing to trade guys like Josh Staumont for that. And I don't know if we have control of Zimmer still, but I think those guys in the bullpen, if we're stacked, with all these starting pitchers, the ones that don't make it can go to the bullpen. And I think those are the best commodities that we have are those relievers.
Well, and I'll tell you this. I don't know that Zimmer's going to bring anything. I mean, I know he finally came around. I mean, I think he brings something, but I don't think he's going to bring you an everyday player. Thank you for the call, Ted. Listen, the Royals won the same way. They had good young hitters. right? Lorenzo Cain, Eric Hosmer, Mike Moustakas, guys that had never made it to free agency, they had the same formula. And I'll disagree with you on the frequency of contact. I still think that is something that you want to have. Like, if you can have frequency of contact and power, right, that's the ultimate. But I'll tell you why. Like, you said the shift takes it away. I'll tell you what's going to happen is somebody's going to start drafting and developing players that can bunt. If you have Deadpool and you can drop down a bunt, then they can't shift on you. And it's very simple, but it's the same thing. Like, we look now at, like, oh, the opener. It was so obvious. Yes, so is laying down a bunt against the shift.
Time for our Deli Fresh end of the hour question, sponsored by Good Sense. Chosen by KC sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense, not because it's easy, but because it's better.
All right, the Dodgers broke a streak of 13 consecutive playoff appearances without a World Series title. Two franchises have had longer streaks. Name either one. Brought to you by Good Sense.